Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, second class, May 14, 2023, Romans.
All right, as we get ready for part two, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Romans 5:20 says, "Now the law came in as a minor actor to play a minor role, in order that the transgression, Adam's original sin, might increase and multiply. But where sin increased and multiplied, grace, the grace of God, increased in superabundance." Now that brings us to verse 21. "That as sin hath reigned unto death." We have hina plus the comparative adverb hosper plus the aorist active indicative of the verb basileo plus the nominative singular of hamartia with the definite article and the prepositional phrase and plus the dative of thanatos with the definite article. Hina, H-I-N-A. Now, it's used with the verb basileo. Basileo is going to be used two times in this verse. First time it's in the indicative, the second time it's in the subjunctive. Hina plus the subjunctive introduces a purpose clause. So this introduces divine purpose. God's purpose and plan is now stated. And then hosper is a comparative adverb. Looks like that in the Greek, H long O S P E R, hosper. Comparative adverb and correctly translated just as. And then we have our old friend, we've seen it many times in Romans 5, hamartia in the singular. H-A-M-A-R-T-I-A. When it's in the plural, it's used for personal sins. When it's in the singular, most of the time it's used for the sin nature. And it's used for the sin nature here. This is the old sin nature who basileos mankind from physical birth to salvation. And then after salvation, when you get out of fellowship with God, you see, this is going to be explained. The best way Romans 5 is going to be explained is when we get to Romans 7. And so Romans 7 will explain this beautifully in an illustration. And the illustration is marriage. A lot of you'll be interested when we get to that. Marriage. And we start out with a husband from physical birth to salvation. And that's the first husband. That's the sin nature. And he rules our life. He rules our human life from physical birth to the moment we place our faith in Jesus Christ. And at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, we have a second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 6 explains that the baptism of the Spirit, we're identified with Christ in his death and burial, and we're identified, that's retroactive positional truth, we're identified with Christ in his resurrection, seated at the right hand of the Father, current positional truth. So the old sin nature is the first husband from physical birth to salvation, and then at the moment of salvation through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth, now we have a second husband, a new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is now the authority of our life. Now the only thing is that first husband is still living. He's not dead. He's living inside of you. So he's living in your body, and that means we have an internal conflict in each one of our lives. We all have an internal conflict. That first husband trying to get back in control. And now you have a guardian. You have a guardian of your soul. Volition. You have a free will. You have a volition. Here's your body down here. And the old sin nature is in that body. And the old sin nature sends temptation, 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 temptation. Keep sending temptation. Now you have a new husband. You have a new authority. One who rules your life. The Lord Jesus Christ is now the authority in your life. You're now the body of Christ. You'll be the bride of Christ. He's now the one that calls the shots. But the sin nature's still trying to get back in here. So he sends temptation, temptation. Now all you have to do is say no. No, no, no. And Jesus Christ stays in control of the soul. But when you say yes to temptation, then the old sin nature comes up. Now you're grieving the Holy Spirit, quenching the Holy Spirit, and now you've turned the authority of your life back to the sin nature. We all have this conflict going on inside. So Basileo, who's ruling your heart? Here, start out with from physical birth to salvation, the old sin nature is the one ruling our lives. He is the ruler of human life. But at salvation, through the baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth, now the Lord Jesus Christ is the new husband. And now he rules our life. So, Basileo is used two times in this verse. And literally, Basileo means to be a king, to rule as a king. I'll give you the verb here. Basileo. Basileo. And literally it means to be a king or to rule as a king. Or it's used of princes and kings ruling over others. That's literally. But we don't have it used in its literal sense. We have it used figuratively in our verse. And here, Basileo is used of the old sin nature ruling over human life in spiritual death. From physical birth to our salvation, the old sin nature rules over human life in spiritual death. And then in the last half of the verse, of verse 21, now the grace of God is ruling through righteousness in the believer. That's the last half of verse 21. So we have basileo used two different times here. The aorist tense is a consummative aorist or culminative aorist. And those of you who've been here for a long time, you are all tuned in on this. You understand that you have it. Here's the aorist circle. If you start out with the beginning of an action, that's called an ingressive aorist. If you're looking at the consummation or culmination, that's a culminative aorist. And if you're looking at everything that takes place from the beginning to the end, that's the constative aorist. Most of the time, in the aorist tense in the Koine Greek is constative aorist, but not here. Here it's looking at this point right here, the culmination. So, at physical birth, when Adam's original sin is imputed to the genetically formed old sin nature resulting in spiritual death, it culminates in spiritual death. That's the culmination. That's the culminative verse. It culminates in spiritual death. The active voice, the old sin nature, performs the action of ruling over human life in the sphere of spiritual death. The indicative mood is declarative. This is an absolute fact of the God-breathed scriptures. And then the preposition end plus the dative. N plus the dative. This is the dative of sphere. The dative of sphere. In the sphere of thanatos. 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 Just basically means death. Here refers to spiritual death. So the corrected translation, so that just as the sin nature has ruled in the sphere of spiritual death, that's from the moment you were born physically to the moment of your faith in Jesus Christ, eternal salvation. So that just as the sin nature has ruled in the sphere of spiritual death. Now, you ought to know something about that sin nature, because when you believed in Christ, yes, retroactive and current positional truths of the baptism of the Spirit, now the Lord Jesus Christ is now the ruler of your life. But the problem is that first husband, he didn't die. He's still living in you. And he's trying to get back control of your life. We all have an internal conflict going on. Now, this internal conflict, turn over for a moment to Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Now start at verse 16. So I say, walk. The word literally is peripateo, and it means to walk. It refers to living your life. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is talking about when it says walk by the Spirit. This means live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Now you have a choice now after salvation. You have a That guardian of the soul is your volition, and there's an inner conflict going on inside of you, each one of you. And you are well aware of it. You have seen this going on in your own life. So I say, walk or live your life by the power of God the Holy Spirit, and you will not gratify what? The lust patterns of the sin nature. That's the word flesh, sarx, the sin nature. And you won't gratify the lust patterns of the sin nature. For the sin nature desires what is contrary to God the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit, what is contrary to the sin nature. They are at war with each other. They're at war with each other. This is going on inside of you. They are at war with each other so that you do not do what you want. So we have this great inner conflict. We were, as unbelievers, under the authority of the sin nature, the ruler of human life. But at salvation, now we have a second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he's the one in charge. And now there's an inner conflict. The first husband didn't die. He's still living inside of you and trying to get back into control. So let's take a look at this sin nature then. First of all, let's get definition. Biblical documentation, we've seen this, Romans chapter 5, verse 12. In Romans 5, 12, it says, therefore, just as through one man, Adam, sin, the sin nature, entered into the world, and spiritual death through the sin nature, so spiritual death spread to the entire human race because all sinned when Adam sinned. So that's the biblical documentation, Romans 5:12. Subpoint two. The characteristics of spiritual death. The characteristics of spiritual death include, first of all, the status quo of dichotomy in the human race. That is, dichotomy. The unbeliever has a body, and the unbeliever has a soul. But he's in spiritual death. So the unbeliever is dichotomous. The unbeliever is dichotomous, body and soul, spiritual death. The believer is trichotomous. Trichotomous, the believer has a body, a soul, and a human spirit. That was created by God the Holy Spirit at the moment of faith in Jesus Christ, regeneration. God the Holy Spirit creates the human spirit, and God the Father imputes eternal life to that human spirit, regeneration, you're born again. So the believer is trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit, while the unbeliever is dichotomous, just a body and a soul. So the status quo of dichotomy in the human race, having only a body and soul at birth, that's the first characteristic of spiritual death. But there's no human spirit. And without a human spirit, you have no relationship with God. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 2:14. 1 Corinthians 2:14. First Corinthians 2:14, it starts out and says, the psychikos man. Now look at the unbeliever. What does he have? The unbeliever has a body and a soul, dichotomous. And the unbeliever is called a psychikos man. P-S-U-C-H-I-K-O-S. Psychikos. From suke, soul, psychikos means soulish. The unbeliever is a soulish man. Why is he called a soulish man? Because he's only dichotomous. He only has a body and a soul. The soulish man does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. But he is an unbeliever. He is the soulish. The unbeliever is a soulish man. He's dichotomous. He has a body and a soul. He has no human spirit. Therefore, he has no relationship with God, no fellowship with God, no way of understanding God. So the first characteristic of spiritual death includes dichotomy. Secondly, total depravity. Total depravity. Third, total separation from God. I don't think any of you have any trouble understanding the total depravity of man, especially as we witness what goes on in America and around the world every day. Now, Deb and I, we get up early in the morning. Some of you get up a lot earlier than we do, but we get up early. And we have to get up early because we've got to play Wordle. See, that's one of the things we've got to do. But we get up early, and she gets her iPad, and I get on my computer. And the sites I hit, all I can see is the total depravity of man. The total depravity of man. Deb even said, either today, this morning, or yesterday morning, it's not fun anymore to even go. All I see is the total depravity and total degeneracy of man. I see the total apostasy of our own nation, which I love, and this is not fun. Not fun to get on the computer. Not fun to see these things. Yes, mankind comes into the world physically alive, spiritually dead, and in spiritual death, total depravity. Third, total separation from God. And fourth, total helplessness to perform any work or sacrifice or any change of life by which we can enter into a relationship with God. Total helplessness to perform any work, any sacrifice, any change of life by which we can enter into a relationship with God. The only way we can enter into a personal relationship with the living and true God is to accept God's work on our behalf. That is, to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Three. The old sin nature has a threefold essence. There's an essence to the old sin nature. Threefold essence. It has an area of weakness. It has an area of strength. It has lust patterns. Area of weakness, area of strength, lust patterns. First area is area of weakness. The area of weakness produces personal sins. We all have a sin nature. From the area of weakness, it produces personal sin. Now, you're believers in Jesus Christ, most of you, if not all of you, but you still have a sin nature in here, and when you, from the guardian of your soul, say yes to temptation, when we get to Romans 7, I love the illustration Paul uses in Romans 7. As an unbeliever, you're married to the sin nature. He's your first husband. As a believer, you're married to the Lord Jesus Christ. At the moment of salvation, God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is now your husband. But the old sin nature is still living in you. It's like kind of like a divorce. Now you're married to a second husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, but the first husband's still trying to get in the door, get back in. Hey, let's get together one more time. Let's have a glass of wine. Let's just sit down and talk a while. That's the sin nature. And constantly trying to get back in to be the authority of your life. So we have an area of weakness that produces personal sin. Turn over to Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1. You see, I'm talking a lot about Romans 7 because that's where I am now in my study. I'm in Romans 7. Romans 6 is a phenomenal chapter on baptism of the Spirit, retroactive and current positional truth, and then the illustration of it in the next chapter, chapter 7. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, don't you see? God loves track and field. And I've told you, he also kind of likes baseball in the big inning, you know, back in Genesis 1. But he loves track and field. The sin that so easily entangles and hinders the believer. That's the area of weakness, produces personal sin. The area of strength produces human good. Turn back to Isaiah 64. That's the best place to see this. Isaiah 64. Isaiah 64:6. In Isaiah 64:6, all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all of our righteous acts is self-righteous human good production from your area of strength. Self-righteous human good production from the area of strength of the sin nature. And they are like filthy rags. So the sin nature not only has an area of weakness producing personal sin, it has an area of strength that produces self-righteous human good works. And in God's eyes, that is their filthy rags. And then the third part of the essence of the sin nature is we have lust patterns. Lust patterns. Turn over to Ephesians 2, verse 3. Ephesians 2, 3. Ephesians 2 verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the lust patterns of our sin nature. Again, the word is sarx, flesh, one of the terms for the sin nature. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the lust patterns of our sin nature, and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. So the sin nature has an essence, threefold: an area of weakness that produces personal sin, area of strength that produces self-righteous human good, and lust patterns. Lust patterns motivates both sin and evil, lasciviousness and asceticism, moral and immoral degeneracy. Subpoint 4. The sin nature is Adam's trend after the fall in action. The sin nature is Adam's trend after the fall in action. Immediately after Adam sinned, two things occurred simultaneously. He had a new trend historically, and he had spiritual death. Subpoint 5, a trend occurred toward sin, producing personal sin in three categories: mental attitude sins, verbal sins, sins of the tongue, and overt sins. So a trend occurred toward sin, producing personal sin in three categories: mental attitude sins, verbal sins, sins of the tongue, overt sins. Subpoint 6. A trend occurred toward good and evil, following then living by Satan's policy of good and evil. When Adam chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and Adam was in the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ provided everything needed, everything that Adam and the woman needed. And from all of the fruit trees, all the trees, they could eat of any of them. It was totally fine, except one, because that one served as a test, a volitional test. Of all the trees in the garden, you can eat, but not of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The day you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, dying spiritual death, you will die physical death. And when Adam chose to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he chose Satan's policy. Immediately, the result was Satan became the ruler of planet Earth. So not only is there a trend occurred towards sin, mental attitude sins, sins of the tongue, overt sins, but a trend occurred toward good and evil. 7. The fall of man resulted in numerous changes from the garden. The fall of man resulted in numerous changes from the garden. Now Satan became the ruler of planet Earth. The sin nature became the ruler of human life. And mankind became spiritually dead. So the fall of man resulted in numerous changes from the garden. Satan became the ruler of planet Earth. The sin nature became the ruler of human life. Mankind became spiritually dead. 8. Adam took a perfect soul, that perfect soul which the Lord Jesus Christ gave him, you see, the Lord Jesus Christ created Adam out of the ground, took the earth. In fact, Adam comes from Adama, which means dirt. The Lord Jesus Christ took the dirt and formed the body. First the body was formed, but he wasn't a human being at that point. He just had a body. That's just the tent. And then the Lord Jesus Christ breathed into him the spark of life, Neshama. And Adam became a living soul. And Jesus Christ created the first man, Adam, and formed the body, breathed in the spark of life, the neshama. And then Adam took that perfect soul given to him by Jesus Christ, and by his negative volition, he revolted against divine authority, and the result was the creation of the sin nature. 9. While the soul is not occupied by the sin nature, it resides in the cell structure of the human body. The soul becomes the battlefield which the sin nature attacks and attacks and attacks to try to take over the control of the believer's soul. While the soul is not occupied by the sin nature, this is just referring to the believer in Jesus Christ, their sin nature resides in the cell structure of the human body, and the soul becomes the battlefield, the battleground, which the sin nature attacks and attacks and attacks and tries to take over once again control of the believer's soul. 10, the sin nature in the body is constantly attacking the soul with temptation. The sin nature in the body is constantly attacking the soul with temptation. We have an internal conflict going on inside of us. But the guardian, you have a guardian of your soul, your volition. And all you have to do is say no. The moment of salvation, you're indwelt and filled with the Spirit. The filling of the Spirit is the power to live the unique spiritual life and to glorify God to the maximum. But the sin nature in the body is constantly attacking the soul of the believer with temptations. 11, when the guardian of your soul, your volition, says yes to the temptations and sins, then the sin nature takes over control of your soul once again. Now, as an unbeliever, he was always in control, but that's different. He was the first husband. Then at salvation, now the Lord Jesus Christ is the second husband. And now he is the authority of your life. And so when the guardian of your soul says yes to the temptations, you simply turn over the authority of your life back to the sin nature, just like you were as an unbeliever. All right. So the first part of verse 21, so that just as the sin nature has ruled in the sphere of spiritual death. Now the rest of the verse is going to sound like this. So also the grace of God might basaluo. This is the second use. Here we have now hina plus the subjunctive, the divine purpose. So also the grace of God might basaluo, rule through imputed righteousness because of eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a fantastic verse. Got a lot here, but we're just getting started with it. We'll pick it up here next week. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.